In the decades after the Civil War, the United States entered one of the most dramatic periods of expansion and industrial transformation in its history. The nation that emerged from the conflict was still wounded, politically divided, and economically uneven, yet it also possessed enormous energy. Factories multiplied, cities swelled, farms pushed farther westward, and millions of immigrants arrived with hopes of work, land, and opportunity. At the center of this vast movement stood the railroad, a machine of iron, steam, capital, labor, and ambition. More than any other technology of the 19th century, the railroad reshaped the American landscape, reorganized the economy, accelerated settlement, and altered the very way Americans understood distance, time, and national identity. Before the railroad age fully unfolded, transportation in the United States remained slow, costly, and uncertain. Rivers, canals, wagon roads, and coastal shipping had carried people and goods across the young republic, but each system had limits. Rivers flowed in fixed directions, canals required heavy construction and froze in winter, and roads could become muddy, dangerous, or nearly impassable. A farmer in the Midwest might produce wheat, corn, or livestock in abundance, yet if transportation costs were too high, that abundance could not easily become profit. Likewise, manufacturers in eastern cities needed reliable access to raw materials and distant markets. The railroad answered these needs with a force that seemed almost revolutionary. It could cross mountains, bridge rivers, cut through forests, and bind places together with a regularity no earlier system could match. By the beginning of the Gilded Age, railroads had already begun to change the nation, but after 1865 their growth became explosive. Thousands of miles of track spread across the country in a vast iron web. In 1860, the United States had about 30,000 miles of railroad track. By the end of the 19th century, that number had risen to more than 190,000 miles. This expansion did not merely make travel faster, it transformed the economic logic of the entire country. Towns that gained railroad connections often flourished, attracting merchants, warehouses, hotels, banks, and new residents. Towns bypassed by the tracks could wither, watching opportunity move elsewhere. In this way, railroad companies did more than respond to growth. They helped decide where growth would happen. The symbolic heart of this transformation was the completion of the first transcontinental railroad. During the Civil War, while Southern legislators were absent from Congress, the federal government passed the Pacific Railway Act of 1862, authorizing support for a rail line that would connect the Eastern Network to the Pacific Coast. The project was presented as a national necessity, a way to bind California and the Western territories more firmly to the Union. Yet it was also a massive business venture, filled with subsidies, land grants, speculation, political favoritism, and fierce competition. Two companies took the lead. The Union Pacific Railroad, building westward from Omaha, Nebraska, and the Central Pacific Railroad, building eastward from Sacramento, California. The construction of the Transcontinental Railroad demanded extraordinary human labor. The Union Pacific relied heavily on Irish immigrants, former soldiers, freedmen, and other laborers who worked across the plains under harsh conditions. The Central Pacific, facing the rugged Sierra Nevada, turned increasingly to Chinese immigrants, whose labor proved indispensable. These Chinese workers blasted tunnels through granite, laid track along dangerous mountain passes, endured avalanches, and worked through punishing winters. They were often paid less than white workers and faced discrimination both on and off the job, yet their contribution was central to one of the most celebrated engineering achievements in American history. Their labor reminds us that the triumphs of the railroad age were built not only by wealthy investors and famous executives, but by thousands of men whose names rarely entered the official ceremonies.